death and hatred to mankind, poisoning their brainwashed minds.
This is Bob Fitrakis bringing you the other side of the news on WGRN 94.1. You're listening to WGRN 94.1 FM. I'm Bob Fitrakis, and this is the other side of the news. I'm talking with my longtime co-host, Dan Dugan. Dan, here it is.
Hiya, Bob. Christmas. It's Bill Bolin.
Christmas
Eve 2020.
I'm trying
to do my Barney Rubble.
Okay, that was do it again.
Hiya, Fred, let's go bowling. Seeing if you were Jimmy Dore and his crew, you would laugh really, really hard at any impressionist that comes on the show, no matter what they say. But anyway. Well,
it's a pretty good Barney.
Thank you. I've been working on it. It's not as good as my Haney, though, you know. Well, Mr. Douglas, you can't steal this election for any amount of money. There you go.
But I got an S&S machine here.
What's that?
I got me an S&S machine here for you to buy.
That's right. I liked when he wouldn't rent his own piano, or he wouldn't rent his piano, or the piano, yes, to his own mother for $50. And then his mother gets off the back of the truck and he turns her down. But anyway, it's, you know, it's kind of, in these Trumpian times, Haney is just that kind of guy, and it puts us in mind of that character who just refuses to leave. It reminds me, actually, of Andy Kaufman on The Dating Game. Did you ever see that?
No, it sounds like a classic, though.
It's The Dating Game.
For the listeners?
You can go to YouTube, check it out, and it's Andy Kaufman, and he insists that he won because he answered the questions honestly, and he refuses to come out and meet the girl who didn't choose him. He just sits back there going, but no, I answered all the questions honestly. I won. I'm telling you I won. And I thought the host, the big gym guy, was going to go throttle him, but it was classic Andy Kaufman. So, but that's what it reminds me of. You know, if you just keep insisting, maybe someone will believe you. It certainly wasn't the Supreme Court that he thought would go along with him, right? Isn't that
right? No, absolutely. I believe he thought, since he had appointed three of them,
right,
they were going to do his bidding. They were going to completely compromise themselves for his political bidding.
Of course. And if they didn't, he'd just fire them? Is that, you know?
Well, he has that mindset, you know, that they owed him.
Right.
And
exactly.
Again, Michael Cohen, right, his attorney is on the record way back after writing the book much earlier this year going, he isn't leaving. You won't really know the real Donald Trump until he loses and it comes time to leave.
No, he doesn't lose. I guess he did at one point actually say that he didn't win. But he'll never say that he lost or that he is a loser. Apparently, that's my understanding. But so much is going on right now, like the pardons. Manafort was today, and your boy Stone was.
Roger Stone, who wrote a glowing
good
review. Go to the Hill. Put in Fitrakis and the Hill, the Bible of the U.S. Congressional branch, and you'll find a review by Roger Stone of my book co-written with Harvey Wasserman, The Strip and Flip Election of 2016.
But did you have to, yes, and that's stuff that still is important today. And I think you said you and Harvey were trying to point out, no, to the Trump administration, this book is not about how to steal an election.
Right. It's not a how-to manual. How to steal the 2020 election.
Yeah. No, but the pardons have just been coming like those murderous, the soldiers and the contractors, actually. Aren't they
the Blackwater murderers.
Yes. Murderers.
And
horrible.
Jared Kushner's father
Was he was involved with Blackwater at some point?
I don't know if he was, but he was involved.
Or he got pardoned.
I think those he was getting pardoned from for past indiscretions.
Right. Well, to go down this road a little further, then, do you, as an attorney, believe that Mr. Trump will attempt to pardon himself, and does he have any legal standing? Like, you know,
well,
pardon
I mean,
himself.
That's been an ongoing debate, and back to the famous president from Ohio, the largest president. Who would that be, Mr. Dugan?
I'm sorry, I said that again. The largest president was Taft.
Yes, William Howard Taft, yes. Who then, after being president, became Supreme Court Justice.
Right.
And who wrote about the pardon. And his whole notion is that the pardon is about justice. If it's not about justice, it really corrupts and destroys the system when it becomes all about personally benefiting the president. And this man, of course, was president and Supreme Court Justice.
Right, absolutely. He's also the guy that Teddy Roosevelt ran screaming from the Republican Party. And of course, that's the other thing is, you know, where does the Republican Party go? You know, they're not in bad shape, but the whole thing.
In the two-party system, you're never really in bad shape, because even if you got the worst candidate, he's still going to get 40%. I mean, the nature of the two-party system, and we've had the same two parties winning every election since 1860. You know, it's always fairly close.
And the election of 1876 is where they really started to work together to that kind of thing, you know, like they reached a compromise then. And so ever since then,
much to the liking of the corporate capitalist.
Precisely.
So it's often argued. There was a local guy who wrote a book. I think his name was Benedetti that I reviewed. It was called The Exercise, which argues, the whole plot of the novel is essentially how each side is involved in these emotional wedge issues to whip the country into a frenzy. But push comes to shove, it's the same, you know, small group of rich people pulling the strings.
Right, eventually. But of course, that's again, Trump was and is a different, you know, horse of a different color, even when it comes to, you know, Republican politics. And that's why lots of standard, you know, old school Republicans seem to have voted for Biden, or at least refused to go for Trump. And again, where they go, where we all go.
President George W. Bush.
Say that again.
Including the former president, George W. Bush.
Yes. Yeah, you're right. You're right. And so we'll see.
And of course, John McCain's widow.
Right. Absolutely. And his daughter.
Stunning era. I mean, Arizona, you know, went Democrat.
How about that? And I lived out there for a short time way back in the 80s, and that's amazing. I mean, I remember I went to see Willie Nelson, and me and Willie were the only long hairs in the crowd. You know, it's come a lot. This was 1980. It's come a long ways, baby. But so, here's the other thing, Bob.
The right wing looks like Duck Dynasty.
No kidding. Watch them run those guys. That wouldn't surprise me. Hey, work for Trump, the reality TV. But, you know, also just in general, one more question, actually, because, you know, when I don't get to talk to you too much, I have these questions stored up. And so the last one would be, will the Democrats pardon Trump? Let's say he doesn't pardon himself. Will they work out some deal in order to, thus leaving him, as a possible candidate for the next election, right? If they would, do you think they would? I guess is what I'm asking.
you know, I mean, it's got to be worth something. And again, what about, and they have no control really over the Hunter Biden investigation. But there's a long history of sons and relatives of the wealthy worldwide, be it China or the United States, getting wealthy off their father's name. In fact, one of the most famous was George W. Bush, who got
I heard that
huge contract. I forget the South American country to, you know, lay pipe, oil pipes, right? And a lot of that was you simply calling up, you know, my dad, when his dad was president. And he didn't have to say anything like, my dad's president. Just like the Saudi Arabians invested in Harkin Oil, his small oil company. And I mean, so the people with the most oil on earth are investing in pretty much a busted, wasted oil exploratory company with no assets. And one of them said, there was a famous quote, one of them had the truth slip out and said, look, we're not investing in him, we're investing in his father.
Yeah. Meanwhile, that doesn't answer my question, but that's okay, because I don't know, we can't necessarily read the future. But again, do you think the Democrats will cut a deal with Trump in order to just move him out and on and put it behind us, as you know, as we did with Nixon, for instance? So I'm just wondering.
I'm thinking so. This big question of, you know, I mean, I'm thinking, why would they pardon him? I mean, what would be
the advantage? Well, again, well, you look, Obama did not go after Bush and Cheney, and I think that he should have, but he didn't, and he put it behind. And that's the same thing we did with Nixon. So there is, you know, some amount of precedence to not pursue legal cases against former presidents, right? I mean, as you know, Trump had said before, he could shoot someone on Fifth Avenue and they wouldn't, he'd be all right. I don't know. Well, I guess we'll see. There's going to be a lot going on. So in the meantime, 2020 will soon be hindsight, or hindsight's 2020. How should that joke read, Bob?
I don't know, man. Is this your worst
2020,
year?
Hindsight. Yeah. Soon 2020. Soon hindsight will. Say that again.
Is this the worst year you've lived through?
Is it not for me personally? No. No. I've had worse years personally. I had my house burned, and I was told I had to move my bar. That was, you know, and that was actually in 1 week. You know,
and so, well, tell us about the house burning.
Jim Mannary,
he did
some wiring, and Jim Mannary did some wiring. He lived downstairs. He wired the chicken coop with space heaters, and the old chicken coop had become the back room, and he was living back there, and he wired it with space heaters, and it burned, and Puna was in the cabin. This is in Norwich, the old cabin, and the firemen were pulling out Jim's dresses and porn magazines and throwing them around our yard. But I digress. I'm just saying, I've had worse years personally. It's boring, certainly. You know, there's not much you can do. And these days, when you do go anywhere, there's tons of people, which, go figure.
Well, it's Christmas, and that's not probably going to help the pandemic. And you're listening to WGRN 94.1 FM.
Green Renaissance, Bob.
The Green Renaissance. I'm Dr. Bob Fitrakis, and you're listening to The Other Side of the News. And I'm talking with Dugan, my co-host, who's been interrupted somewhat in that role by the pandemic.
I will say, the strangest of times. It hasn't necessarily been personally bad. It's just odd and crazy. I mean, I haven't been able to see my son, so I'm once. In this entire time, he lives in Indiana, but the hugs
tragic.
Have been few and far between. Yeah, and it's, you know, there's, but I'm not the only one, and lots of people are on Zoom. And to me, if you get at least six people, it looks like the Brady Bunch. I mean, I think 9 is an official Brady Bunch, isn't it? You know, with the little boxes.
Yeah.
Or it could be the Hollywood Squares. Charlie Weaver to block, please. Paul Lynn. Thank you.
Yeah, three boys and three girls there. Yeah, the tragically.
And the parents and the housekeeper, Alice. Yeah. Yes. So that would be nine. Anyway,
I found out my brother and my sister-in-law have the virus, and they're really complaining about the headache. Now, hopefully they'll be fine and pull through. My brother, Dave, and his wife and child, Stacy, all have the virus. And the main thing—
They have the virus.
Yes, yeah, right now. I found out.
As a matter of fact, I meant to tell Suzanne, for those of you out there who don't know, Bob is married to a wonderful person named Suzanne Patrick. I don't know how he ended up with her, but he did. But I didn't tell her, and I don't know if she knows, and you know, might not know, Connie Harris has also come down with the virus. She says she's okay. She just has some down days right now. So
she's got other health problems. Bless her.
Yes, she does.
Yes.
So, but she says it's not as bad as she thought it would be.
Well, that's good.
And that's kind of what I'm saying about this.
Let's send her some good vibrations. I mean,
let's do that. But cool. So in review of this past year, Bob, which in some ways seems the slowest of years, but I have a feeling, as often is the case later on, because we might have done so little in our personal lives, it might have seemed to go very quickly. But what do you see this year besides COVID? Obviously, Trump dominates so many things, but for instance, Black Lives Matter, movement.
Killer cops, because, you know, we've had a couple within the, you know, the last week or so. And Andy Ginther made the national news. Andy Ginther was on CNN today because
open his eyes?
He's had enough, and he wants the cop's badge. So Andy Ginther grew a pair and is actually standing up. And this last one, right, this Andre Hill shooting.
Okay.
I don't know if you've seen the video yet, and Adam Coy was the cop who did it. But this guy was a guest, and he comes out, you know, with his hands up, videoing, and they kill him, and he's got no gun.
But he was holding something in his hand.
Like, sense.
Well, the other guy, Andre, Casey. They said he thought he had a rifle, and he didn't have any film, no body camera. He said he thought he had a rifle. It was a Subway sandwich. So I guess in the hands of a black man, a Subway sandwich or a video camera, it looks like a rifle, Bob. You got to understand that, don't you?
Psychology, because many of these people have deeply ingrained racist biases.
Maybe, but, you know, we'll give the benefit of the doubt. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
Well, you know, I mean, here's the problem, man. It's been long established. The police don't live in the city of Columbus. The Columbus police, they're like an occupying army. They live not even in Franklin County. Most of them live in the adjacent rural suburbs. Yeah, and you may know those are the places that love Donald Trump. So they come in here. Their main goal in life, to be fair to them, is to get back home alive. And they associate the city, right, the big city, with, you know, violence and dangerous minorities. I mean, we really need community policing. We need police officers that actually live in the neighborhoods in Columbus and actually know the people there as neighbors and friends.
You've been pushing this issue for years. Right.
I wrote a book called "Quote Cops Cover Up Cover-ups and Corruption." So you know Suzanne and I are working on a coffee table book, 50 years of the free press. As you go through the book, starting 50 years ago, you got cops kill man on South Side, cops kill man on East Side, cops shoot unarmed man. Cops shoot people at OSU. So there's a reoccurring theme deeply embedded in the Columbus police. And a lot of it
is and in police and in general. I mean, when you give someone a gun and you put them in charge, it just might go off.
And you sue. There's a court case where the police sued the ones hiring to be allowed to hire people with lower IQs, right? You want attack dogs. You want command control structure.
Wait a second.
You don't want smart police. Smart police are inherently have critical skills. Go ahead, Dano.
Wait. No. You're saying that the police, the Columbus police, or
a court case on behalf of all police
sued to allow people of a lesser IQ to become police, is what you're saying?
Yes,
but a certain level of IQ is not low enough to keep you alive if you happen to be on death row, right, Bob?
Correct. Finally upheld by the Supreme Court a decade or so back, where if you were actually below a IQ point, they could no longer kill you because you weren't really cognizant.
Oh, there is a level. Okay. All right. I thought they had.
But there wasn't for a long
time. Violated that number. Right. So, Jesus. So you're saying, though, that Ginther has he's trying to get out in front of this.
Yeah, finally, he's being very assertive. He's making national news, and he should be congratulated.
Right. But in the meantime, didn't they sort of throw their hands up when the deputy shot Casey guy? Like, well, it wasn't ours. We didn't do it. Wasn't that sort of where they were coming from on that situation? You know what I'm saying? We'll find out.
What's the crux of the argument?
No, I'm just saying it seemed to me like they were, because it wasn't one of theirs that shot the guy that Casey, I can't think of his last name, but just
Casey Goodson. Casey Goodson, but, Jr.
Goodson. But that he was shot by a Franklin County deputy, right? But I thought the city kind of, washed their hands of it, is what I'm saying. So.
Right, well, it wasn't theirs, and partly reports that they were in plain clothes. So you've got white guys, and this has happened before in Columbus. I've written about it. So you've got, these white guys in black neighborhoods in plain clothes, looking like, the KKK and Friends of Trump in Charlottesville. Right. They're looking like white supremacists.
The boogaloos. They're wearing Hawaiian shirts.
Yeah, no, I hear you. But we did do a quick search. And in 2000, in Connecticut, a guy was turned down because his IQ was too high as a police officer.
For police.
To ABC News. He was a reader. He would read nonfiction and stuff. And the court upheld the municipality in Connecticut that fired him for being a reader.
And we've discussed the origin of a lot of these police, chasing down escaped slaves.
Yeah, fugitive slaves. That's why you created the militias in the first place and armed them.
And the militias, that's the other thing that I had in reading, finally getting around to reading Zinn's book. He talked about different militias, like the city of Pittsburgh had a militia, for instance. Like the state, a lot of what became National Guards, which are by the state, right? Weren't there cities that had their own militias, and they were essentially,
sure. And a lot of
like
them
rounding up a
for
posse
a long period of time, only whites could be in the militia. Whose book are you talking about?
Well, just Zinn, the People's
History. Howard Zinn. People's History of the United States.
I read parts of it, but I never just really sat down and read the whole thing. And, it's just amazing how much in the history of, of us, as opposed to the history of our rulers, you pick up here and there. But I did not realize that individual cities had militias, counties had militias, and they're essentially just white guys who you know, want to get a gun and go lay down
the
law.
They hung Marilyn Howard, a good friend of mine who teaches, again, African American studies at Columbus State. Her dissertation was on the, you know, 12 black men or so that were lynched in Ohio during the Jim Crow period.
Right.
And again, locally, like if you were a black man past sundown in many of these rural places of Ohio, you could end up being arrested, beaten, killed, or in some cases lynched, unless you had somebody, unless you had somebody who could vouch for you and say, you know, that's old Dan Dugan's boy. He's okay.
Yeah, I'll vouch for him. Well, and I also had just found out recently, and I don't know if it was in that read or something else, but Oregon Territory, you were not allowed to be a black person and be in the territory, essentially. Either as a citizen, you could visit maybe, but you could not have residence in the Oregon Territory, at least for a while. It just goes on and on, this, the history of it. But also, you brought up free press. 50 years, this was one of the biggest disappointments, was us not getting to do your celebration for these, you know, these, this long history of the Columbus Free Press.
We were going to do it over in
our buddy Vandarelli, A.J. Vandarelli's room, and we didn't get to. So.
I know, and again, we got 1 minute left, but you would have been the MC
because you guys
do a great job in that capacity and have a long history of working with us at the Free Press.
Time flies when you're having fun. Happy holidays to everyone, you know, Hanukkah, Kwanzaa, Christmas, New Year, solstice, something like that.
I hear you,
love
my
you
brother.
Guys, both.
Yeah, I can't
take
wait till the pandemic's over and we can do this face-to-face again.
And go, there you go. And go Buckeyes? You Michigan.
Hey,
all right, baby.
Hey, remember, I got a degree from Ohio State.
I know you did. I know you did. All right, then. Good talking to you, man. Take care.
Thanks, man. Be well. All right. Thanks for listening to The Other Side of the News. This is Bob Fitrakis.
And Dan Dugan, WGRN 94.1 LPFM, The Green Renaissance.